Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cook you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
15 days from the NFL Draft 2025, the first round anyway. Ravens have the 27th overall pick. 11 picks in total. So we're going to get some questions answered. It's always intriguing. Gets a little more crazy over the next couple of weeks for sure. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. So on the other side of the glass here to talk about the draft, the Ravens offseason so far, and everything else in between from the Baltimore Banner. She's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Gianna Hahn. Gianna, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us as always here on The Fan.
Thank you for having me as always.
Now, Gianna, with a lot of work still left to be done, draft, another waiver free agency, et cetera, that whole Justin Tucker thing that is still yet to be settled. How would you grade, if you're handing out grades, the Ravens offseason so far? Because Vinny and I have talked about it along with Nolan. On paper, they're still one of the best teams in football, just adding and improving in certain areas. So it's not like they've been weakened since the Buffalo game, or have they?
You know, I don't know that grade off the top of my head. Maybe like a B, B plus, because, you know, I was just working on a little mock draft, messing around with PFF simulator, and realizing that their free agency really addressed a lot of their immediate concerns. And on top of that, they were able to restructure some deals to create a little bit more salary cap space. And, you know, we never expected them to take a big swing, considering they're always tied up against the cap, which is what happens when you pay your players. But I think they were able to manage a lot. And now what they're going to have to do is build depth rather than just, like, filling out starting positions. Because I know Harbaugh said, they could play right now, and I think that's true when it comes to the starting lineup. However, my biggest concern is depth, and we know maybe last year wasn't as bad with injuries, but the year before, you know, they went through an entire position group. So I think that's where they're going to have to look at the draft. But I think so far their free agency, their offseason has been pretty solid.
Gianna, I would say that in their division, they're in better shape than anybody because just like you said, they don't really need a starter. I mean, could they get an upgrade at 27? Sure. But, like, I agree with you. Depth in the O-line, D-line, that's going to – and linebacker, that's going to be big.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, a certain rival of theirs made a big swing. They got DK Metcalf. But what does that mean if you don't have a quarterback? So, and certainly we know the Browns are not doing so hot. But, yeah, they're positioned pretty well. I think that they are good. It's just – as you mentioned, O-line, D-line, the Michael Pierce retirement, certainly they were knew that was coming eventually, so they're going to have to get depth there anyway, but it makes it a little bit more urgent. You know, Ronnie Stanley addressed a huge issue. If they had lost him, they would have had to draft a tackle right away. Now, I still think they should draft a tackle, because if he gets hurt and he has an injury history, or, you know, we don't know about Roger Rosengarten's durability. He did really well his first year, but, you know, he's a rookie, so we don't know long term. But if one of them gets knocked out, I don't know, do you move Daniel Falele there, because he was a tackle? I don't think they have much of an answer there right now, because they don't have Patrick McCary. So those are two spots. And, of course, you mentioned linebacker. They have hopes for Trenton Simpson, but they don't have anyone behind him. And if he doesn't turn out to be what they want him to be, then they don't have anyone next to Roquan. So you're right. Those are all position groups. I mean, outside linebacker is going to be a big one, because they've got a bunch of guys nearing the end of their contract. They have a bunch of unknowns. Really, a lot of the positions, safety, cornerback, even wide receiver, because Hopkins is on a one-year deal. So most of the roster, they need some sort of depth slash look towards the future depth behind their starters.
Gianna, the way I see what they're doing this year is they're putting all their chips in, you know, because you got three tight ends who are going to be free. You got Hamilton, you got Leonard Ball. You know, they are putting all chips in to win it this year.
I think that's fair to say, but I also think it would be fair to say that they've been doing that. I think they could have done it this year, you know, if they hadn't. I think they had the team to. They just didn't have the performance, and I think they had the team to do it the year before. But each year that they don't do it, it becomes a little bit more urgent, because, as we talked about, the salary cap space is getting tighter and tighter, which is why we're also waiting for some sort of extension or structure type deal from Lamar.
Now, speaking of that, what about, because I would think coming first would be a Derrick Henry extension, because if I'm Derrick Henry, you know, and Saquon got 20 mil, I want more money.
I think that's something they're also looking at. I think it's a little less urgent than the Lamar Jackson one, just because he takes so much less of the cap space. And you can't really replace Derrick Henry, don't get me wrong, but that is a position group where there are more options. But I do think that's coming, and I think Eric DaCosta expressed at the combine that's something they wanted, and Harbaugh expressed at annual meetings that's something they wanted. So I think those are – I think the front office has got a lot of work to do, a lot of negotiating talks, even though the bulk of free agency is probably over.
All right, Gianna, in your mock draft, who do you have them taking at 27?
I have – so what I learned from doing the mock draft simulator is I don't think I'm cut out to be a GM, because the players I want are never there. However, I went with James Pierce from Tennessee because, like I mentioned, the outside linebackers, I think that's becoming a really big, important position as, you know, passing game gets more important than the pass rush gets important. And I would like to think that their investment in Deesa Isaac is going to pay off, you know, fellow Penn Stater, but we just don't know, because he dealt with that nagging hamstring the whole time. So I think they need just a little bit more depth slash, you know, starting power at that position.
Gianna, I'm going Malachi Starks. That's who, you know, I think Mel's got him going there too. And, you know, a starting free safety will, you know, kind of free up Hamilton to let him do his thing and stuff. That's the direction I'm headed.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that either. I think safety is a big thing because, you know, Kyle Hamilton is great deep safety. However, he is also insanely fantastic in the slot and opens up the defense to a lot of things when he's there. So, and as we talked about depth, there's just no one else behind them. So safety is a good choice too.
Gianna Hahn covers the Ravens in the NFL for the Baltimore Banner. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Gianna, last thing for you. We were talking earlier about TJ Tampa, fourth round pick last year, and a lot of people thought the Ravens got a steal, air quotes, when he fell to them. What's your intrigue level for him entering his second season? He dealt with injuries early in the season last year as well. As they have holes in the secondary, how might he fill one this season?
Yeah, I mean, his development could be a huge, I guess, black horse for this team. You know, if he's not there, then they desperately need some depth there. And if he is, then that could be a big deal. And we just really, really don't know, because as you know, we only really see like individuals while we're at practice, and he was injured for a lot of it. So just really can't tell where he's at. He looks the part, but we don't know until we get to see him on the field. So definitely a lot of question marks there, and I'm excited to see how he turns out.
Gianna Hahn, Baltimore Banner. Gianna, as always, appreciate the time. Have fun at the Liars Luncheon, for I'm sure Harbs and DaCosta won't be the only ones lying, if you know what I'm saying.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
There's Gianna Hahn, everybody. Vinny at Haney, 105.7. The Fan will come back. American League East Report. We'll get your phone calls as well at 410-583-1057. Orioles made a roster move today. Tell you what that was. And Maryland, Buzz Williams added another player from Texas A&M to the roster. We'll tell you about him, too.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
All right, time for your AL East report. Last night, Orioles lose to the D-backs 4-3. Orioles get out to the early 2-0 lead. Then Charlie Morton got himself first inning jam. Eventually, Arizona would not only tie the game, take the lead. Then all sorts of chaos ensued in the seventh. Base running blunders, etc., etc. Orioles last night, only 4 hits, went hitless for 5 innings after the first inning. Morton, 0-3, 878 earned run average, 5 walks, 4 hits, Jim Hunter said last hour. It's a lot of base runners. Gave up the home run to Carroll also. They had Merrill Kelly in trouble early, and he got out of it, and he wound up going 6 strong to pick up his second win of the season. Good news is the bullpen did not give up a run yet again. Zach Eflin, bad news, going on 15-day IL, retro to tomorrow, or yesterday rather. So he's out at least 2 weeks, probably longer. It is a low-grade lat strain. MRIs prove that. So a guy that was brilliant through his first 3 starts based on the other guys in the rotation, he's going to be out for a minute. So the Orioles are going to need something to happen with these bats, unless like Dean Kramer or Sagano, Povich, insert name here. Somebody's got to grab the bull by their horns and become whatever the number one starter is going to have to be for the Orioles. But Dean Kramer today, 1-1 with a 6.52 earned run average. Brandon Fought, right-hander for the D-backs. He's 1-1 with a plus 5, 3.40. First pitch, and looking at the Orioles' track record against this guy, remember, he up-pitched them into the World Series 2 years ago. Not a lot of, most at-bats, Rutschman is 1-for-3, as is Mountie. Gary Sanchez, 1-for-5. Nobody's taking him deep, so real small sample size, but current roster Orioles combined are 5-for-22. So that's your birds. Colin Selby got called up for Eflin today, so he'll pitch out of the bullpen, we guess. But also, American League's fun last night, if you missed it, and there's a game going on as we speak, which we'll talk about in a second. This game was actually happening as we were on the air yesterday in frigid, cold Detroit, Michigan. Tarek Skubal taking his Cy Young stuff against the Yankees and their torpedo bats, which have been relatively quiet lately. But in the fourth inning, it was the Tiger bats that roared.
Meaning quality of contact. That's a high fly ball by McKinstry way back into the stratosphere. That was a hot air balloon out of here.
Three home runs in the inning. McKinstry, Carpenter, and Torkelson all go deep. That's FanDuel Sports Network. 5-0 final score yesterday afternoon for the Tigers, who try to finish off the Yankees this afternoon. Also in the AL East, remember how hot the Boston Red Sox were just a matter of days ago? And then Toronto goes up to Fenway Park, and they cool him off. And a guy that's kind of hot for the Blue Jays right now is George Springer.
Springer lifts one left center field. Well hit. And gone! Springer has hit it out. His second of the season, and the Blue Jays have the first run of the ball game.
Blue Jays would win going away, 6-1. Sportsnet Toronto on the call there, as Toronto has moved into the top of the AL East, and we'll get into the standings here in a second. Also in the division last night, Angels taking on the Rays, and for Tampa, the struggle continues.
Little looper, shallow center field, it's dropping, that's a base hit. Newman will score easily. Luis Renjifo with two outs in the ninth puts the Angels back in front.
And that would be the final score, 4-3. Renjifo with the go-ahead single, top of the ninth inning. So the Angels handle their business against the Tampa Bay Rays. Standings, American League East on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Toronto 7-5. Half game up on the Yankees, 6-5. Boston, 6-6. Orioles, 5-7. Tampa bringing up the rear. Keep in mind, two games separate everybody in the division, so let's not get crazy. Tigers have won five in a row. They're 7-4, game up over the Royals in the Central. Angels, quietly, 7-3. They're tied with Texas for first in the West. NL East, it's the Mets, 8-3, half game up on the Phillies. In the Central, Cubbies, game and a half up on the Brewers there. Chicago 7-5, or 9-5 rather, and we talked about these guys earlier in the program. San Diego, go bleep yourself, San Diego. They're a half game up on the Dodgers and the Giants in the NL West. And look, we sit here and complain about the Orioles based on the expectations of finally winning a series and maybe, dare I say, possibly winning a World Series. Would you like to be a Rockies fan? That's like the Siberia of baseball. I mean, they have a team, and that's great, and they hit a lot of home runs. That's all very touching. But, I mean, they've had a couple of uprisings that got them in contention and playoff World Series status. But for the most part, they usually develop talent for other teams. Scores today in the American League in action, well, and beyond, of course. Cardinals and Pirates scoreless, bottom of the fourth in Pittsburgh. Marlins and Mets top one in New York. Yankees at Detroit, bottom of the first there. 220, Rangers at the Cubbies. 335, Padres taking on the Sacramento A's, I guess that's what we're calling. Reds, Giants, 345, San Francisco. Dodgers down the road in D.C., taking on the Nats. Nats have been putting it on L.A. here last couple of days. Houston taking on Seattle and their lack of offense. The Mariners, that is, 410. White Sox taking on Cleveland, 610. Blue Jays, as we said, taking on the Red Sox, 645. Angels and the Rays in Florida, 705. Phillies and Braves. Braves win last night, only their second win of the season. That's 7:15. Twins and Royale, 7:40, Kansas City. And the Brewers against said Rockies, that is 8:40 in Denver. So there's your standings and all the fun stuff for Major League Baseball here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Let's get back to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Go to PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Vinny, great scouting report on well, both receivers. But the guy I like a lot is Bond. I mean, the guy, he's tiny, but you know, huge heart and electric fast. But as always, I gotta address the Orioles. The fans have got to chill out. I mean, one of the biggest questions going into this season is who's going to be, you know, what's Sagano going to do? Well, he's got a 2.89 ERA. He's going to be he's a legit number two starter. And as far as O'Neill, they didn't
hey, I mean, Bob, you said that yourself. He's not no longer a Gold Glove fielder. You know, you said that, you know, weeks ago. You were talking me off the ledge. I'm like, he's a Gold Glover. He's like, no, that's not. Yeah. He's a great hitter.
But, you know, he hasn't been great defensively. I mean, we didn't expect. Like, his Gold Gloves are 5-6 years in the rearview mirror. Let's not forget that, too. But, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't hustle, but I expected more in the, you know, other things that need to be brought to the equation than just hitting 31 homers. You know what I mean? But Jim Hunter did say, hey, look, he does have 7 ribbies, so let's pump the brakes. And I forgot that you said the Orioles are going to win the World Series, so I understand why you're kind of talking us down from the ledge at 5-7.
I'm sticking with it, and I love what Buzz Williams is doing. But let me stick with the Orioles because it's anarchy on the radio right now. Listen, you lose your leadoff hitter. You lose who's also arguably, what, your second best defensive player. It's going to be listen, if it's June 1st and we're 3 games out and we got Rodriguez hopefully coming back, Eflin hopefully coming back, Clouser's going to be back. I know, you know, there was Bradish and the Wells thing and we're certainly going to trade a center fielder. I mean, there's so many assets in the Orioles' favor. If we just have to keep, you know, keep within distance 3 games, 4 games by June 1st, there's not another team I would bet on. Sincerity, Bob. Right. Name a team that's got a better 8 hitter.
PT, I hear what you're saying, but so far the results have been the exact opposite of a team that looks to be one of the favorites to win the World Series. I do think the offense will come alive consistently sooner or later. But we're talking about a malaise that started around mid-July last year. Kind of still in that funk. They got to get better with runners in scoring position. Where were they last night? 1-for-6?
It kills me.
Got to get better.
Heston Kerstad's making all of us nervous, right? But his career shows he's a hitter. Leave him in there. And the kid's going to click. I mean, I'm very confident. If you had to bet on it, Bob, you tell me. You don't think he's going to hit 15 to 20 home runs this year?
I would take the under. To be totally honest with you. I mean, we heard how many home runs Kobe Mayo was going to hit, and he hits them at Norfolk, and I'm sure if Kerstad went back to the minors tomorrow, he'd homer by the end of the week. When are they going to do it in Baltimore? That's all I'm saying. And I just want hard contact, give you some hope. Like Mountie the other night, you could see that he was due for a big at-bat, and he got it with that 2-run single. Still waiting on Kerstad to kind of show that. And I'm still waiting on the lineup, by the way, for today against Brandon Fought for the Orioles. PT, I hear what you're saying. I'm not burning any Oriole jerseys like those Dr. Pepper commercials after the first play of the game. The guy burned all of his memorabilia of State U. But let's see a little bit more. The good news is everyone else in the division's got warts all over them, too. So that's the one thing to hang your hat on, I guess.
Right, and we're dealing with so many injuries, and our injuries are all kind of come back this season, I think. Don't you? I mean, you'd agree with that, right?
If Kyle Bradish throws a pitch for the Orioles at any point this year, I'll be surprised. Same with Wells.
You don't think Wells will come back?
I don't know, man. I'm letting it all play out. These Oriole pitching injuries can be rather tricky. Oh, Grayson, he's good. I'll be back. And he never pitched again for the rest of the season. Let's rely on the medical staff. Thanks, PT, to do their jobs, and hopefully the healing process will take care of itself. When we come back, hey, you want to rag on the Orioles? Well, listen, I mean, PT's like, no, don't rag. He still thinks he's going to win the World Series. All right. And we had Ray of Baltimore said 2 days ago they're going to win 70 games. It's a mixed bag so far through 12. But we'll get back to this Eric DaCosta. Jeff Zrebeck did it where they've had success. Maybe not so much in the draft by position. It's in The Athletic, or if not a subscriber, we'll kind of talk you through it when we come back. Then a Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
First and 10, down the middle, look wide open. It's Flowers again, and he breaks the tackle, and he's off to the end zone for a Baltimore touchdown.
Jim Nantz, CBS, on the call, talking about Zay Flowers. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is Woman Crush Wednesday. Olivia Newton-John getting physical with us. Going back, way back when? 81, I believe, was this.
When she wore the headband.
Yeah, and, I was all over it. So I was trying to get physical with her. I would have got myself in trouble. Know what I mean? But we're talking about the Ravens, and Jeff Zrebeck, thank you, Jeff, The Athletic, analyzing the Ravens' last six draft classes, which are Eric DeCostas. And he took over for Ozzie as the main dude back in 2019, where they've had the most slash least success, and from 10 to 1. And quarterback was 10, and we both agreed, and I think everyone listening as well, haven't needed one.
No.
Drafted a couple in the sixth round. His depth, maybe backup, didn't work out. We'll see what Leary brings. McSorley has been long gone. Outside linebacker, I think criticism here is not unfair. Owe is kind of the guy. Still waiting to see what Ajabo can do. Tavius Robinson, we like how he's trending. It's not Lawrence Taylor. Let's not get carried away. Adeez Isaac, we'll see.
Yeah. The big thing with Owe, Bob, is we're going to find out this year. Is he the 5 guy or the 10 guy? You know, and then do they pay him?
Cornerback, 8. All right. You got Nate Wiggins. Looks like a keeper, yep. If not a future pro bowler. Others, not so much. We just talked with Gianna, you and I, and Nolan were talking about it earlier. Vinny, TJ Tampa, when we get into that level of the offseason on the eve of camp, like what guys are going to intrigue you the most? He'll be on my list, TJ
Tampa.
Yeah,
the big thing with TJ is going to be, where's he going to play? You know, I mean, outside corner, I just don't know if speed-wise he's going to have enough speed to be out there. Like in the slot and those kind of things, yeah, he's 6'1", really smart, good zone guy. I'll be following him come spring.
Running back was 7, where Justice Hill, keeper. Dobbins was good, but injuries short-circuited that. And then Ben Mason, Tyler Beatty. We'll see with Rasheen. Is Rasheen Ali this year fighting for a roster spot with Keaton Mitchell expected to be better? Even John Harbaugh said watch out for him this year.
Yeah, and you got, you know, Ricard there with a running back slot. So, yeah. I guess if he didn't make it, Bob, he'd probably be on a practice squad because I don't know that somebody's going to pick him up.
Now let's get to number 6, moving to number 1, which was the best. Wide receiver. We heard Zay made the Pro Bowl team last year, got hurt, unfortunately, late in the year. He was a first-round pick at 23. But let's go back to, I guess, DeCostas' first pick overall was in 19. He took Hollywood Brown, who had, you know, moments of brilliance you know, eventually was disgruntled to the point he wanted out, and they granted his wish.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, like a swing and a miss for Eric. It was, you know, the Hollywood made some plays, and Hollywood did it. The thing I didn't like about Hollywood was his yak sucked. For a guy that has ability, his yak was awful because he'd run out of bounds or fall down.
Turf monster.
Yeah. I mean, that's what drove me. He played small. He was small and played small. Whereas, like, you know, guy we're going to talk about here real shortly, Zay Flowers plays big.
Miles Boykin, one of your favorites.
I just saw he just signed with somebody.
The Bears.
Yeah.
Along with Sean Wade.
Oh, boy.
The Bears. But Miles Boykin, you were never real high on him.
I just didn't think he was a natural. Bob, you know what the thing, you know what he was awesome at? Blocking.
Okay. Two receivers in 2020, Duvernay in the 3rd, Prochet in the 6th. Both gone.
Yeah, I mean, Duvernay, he was like a 4-2, but he didn't play fast was my thing is, you know, his best thing he did for the Ravens was kick returns. He was a terrible route runner as a receiver because he couldn't break down and get in and out of cuts because he was a straight line guy. Prochet was Mr. Training Camp.
Yeah. And then looked like he found a niche returning punts and then not so much.
Just didn't have the burst and explosiveness that they really wanted.
Two receivers in 21, Bateman, Rashad, first-round pick, and then Tylan Wallace, fourth-round pick, both still on the team and both with their roles. And Bateman went from being a bust to a guy they're counting on a lot in 2025.
Yeah. I like Bate coming out. You know, the COVID stuff kind of screwed him up, you know, and then the injuries. But I think he looked really good this past year. Confidence was the biggest thing he was lacking. And with Wallace, I think Bob, both of those guys, they re-signed. You know, so that's what tells you what they think about him. And I love Wallace. I think Wallace is a perfect fifth receiver, special team guy, won a game for them, you know, as a fifth receiver.
Punt returner, yeah.
you know, had four catches in the one game for 100 and some yards. So I like him. I think, you know, he's not a number one or number two or number three, but you know what? As a five, perfect.
Say Flowers, first round pick at 23, as we said, made the Pro Bowl last year. Ceiling extremely high for him, too.
Love him. I thought he was my favorite receiver coming out of the draft that year. I mean, you love his compete. Kid loves to play. I mean, maybe that's a South Florida thing, but I mean, like him and Lamar, they just love to be on the field. He's always got a smile, and his ability to make people miss. I mean, you just want to get the ball in his hands because he is so good yak-wise.
Tez Walker, fourth-round pick last year out of Carolina. What are we seeing here entering year two?
This is going to be a big year for him. Just, I mean, you saw flashes last year, and he's raw. You know, he needs a lot of work, Bob, and this is going to be a big offseason for him to take big steps. That he has the speed, he has tools to get it done. Can he get there? You know, I don't think they're counting on him to be a three. That's why they went and got Hopkins. But ideally for them, if he could push Hopkins, that'd be awesome.
Now, number five, offensive line. 2019, Ben Powers, fourth round. You didn't like him, but he has found a niche, and he got paid, and he is now a quality NFL offensive line.
Yeah, you know what? The thing with Powers, Bob, what I didn't like was he was always on the ground. Always on the ground. And then I think it was year three, he got better and became a good player and then got himself paid. So, yeah, I thought that he's a guy that made himself, or the strength coaches or whoever, or, you know, Joe D or whoever it was, they made him a player.
Third round, 2020, Tyree Phillips. Fourth round, Ben Bredesen. And we'll start with Phillips. He looked the part of a stud, but it never really came to fruition here. Then he went to the Giants. I don't even know, Vinny, if he's even in the league anymore.
Yeah. The thing that we don't know, and especially with O lineman, Bob, if they're not smart, it's hard for them to play. And I don't know Phillips' smarts or not smarts, but it's hard to play. Bredesen, I just thought that he would be a center, is what I thought. I didn't think he was going to be big enough or be able to anchor in there to play guard. He's kind of found a niche.
He's in Tampa now.
Yeah. Doing kind of found thing. A niche. Good for him.
And Ben Cleveland. Third round, 2021, one of your favorite players.
I never liked him.
And he's
never
back.
Yeah, he's, well, I think, Bob, he's back out of necessity just because they don't have any depth. And at least he knows the system and stuff. I mean, he's a big dude that walks 10 and 2, which I hate. You know, feet pointed out.
Like a penguin.
Yeah, can't bend. He's just a big guy. You know, he's a massive man is what he is, you know, and they bring him in to play tight end and, you know, on those short yardage things and stuff just to get his body in the way. But pulling and all those things, he ain't good at that.
All right.
I'm not a fan.
And real quick, Linderbaum, first round, 22. Fa'alele, fourth round, 22. So if you're Eric DaCosta, I'm taking a victory lap. Certainly with Linderbaum, and Fa'alele found his role for sure this season.
Yeah, and the thing with Fa'alele, Bob, was like he's 390 pounds like when he came in. But the thing that he could do is they were at rookie minicamp, they were doing a drill with the old linemen where they had to step over hurdles. And he could bend, and he could do all. I'm like, damn, for a big man like that, he can bend his knees and stuff. So I always thought, and I always mentioned with Harbs, I said, you know, because Harbs and I said, Harbs, I think he's a guard. He said, yeah, me too, what Harbs said. You know, and now I think he's kind of, and he got himself in shape, Bob, because I remember the coaches at training camp, they said, oh, he's good for one play, then he's exhausted. You know, so I think, you know, as the season went along, he got to be pretty good. And his pulling got better. You know, and his blocking the second level got better. And I think he comes in now, and hopefully he comes in at about 360, realizing that, hey, my ass can be a Pro Bowler if I get myself in shape. He's got arms that are like 36 inches long.
Now 23 in the sixth round, Saleh, no longer on the team. And then Andrew Voorhees, who started last year after a red shirt. So, you know, Saleh gone, Voorhees they probably want to upgrade, or they still hopes that he can do something?
Well, the only thing is, Bob, and I like the move that Eric made to get a seventh-round pick to go pick him up. The only thing that you can say about Voorhees is, Bob, got the same issues like Armour Davis and some of these. He's always hurt at SC, you know, and then when he gets his chance, he gets hurt. So can he stay healthy? That's going to be the thing, because he had a hard time with that at SC. Will they look to upgrade? I think they'll look for a guy to come in, unless it's a first rounder. I think they'll look for a guy to come in and compete and hope that he beats him out, and then Voorhees is the rotational guy.
And then last year, real quick, Rosengarten, second round starter, and then Nick Samick, seventh round.
Yeah. Let me just say about Rosengarten. He got a lot better because he, like early on, he couldn't handle the bull rush, couldn't strike. And I think, Bob, he's going to take a massive jump. And I'm hoping that he's living in the weight room because that's what he needed to do. And if he gets stronger and gets more chiseled, he'll be here for like 10, 12 years.
We'll come back, give you the Orioles and D-backs lineup because they're ready to rock and roll. Tell you who transferred to Maryland from Texas A&M. And then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before Inside Access takes over too. For the Birds of Baltimore, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Now, Vinny, you're off the next 2 days, and tell everyone why.
Yeah, I'm flying out tonight to St. Louis for the Frozen Four. The Frozen Four is basically for college hockey, the same thing as, you know, what we just had with basketball. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Penn State is playing tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern against Boston University. And then the first game is Western Michigan, who's probably be the top seed, against Denver. And they play, they're in the same league, so they played each other a lot. Denver might be one of the better talented teams coming in. So if we can beat BU, playing BU for us, they're an extremely talented team. They're not an old team, you know, like when we beat UConn and Maine last week. This is going to be a younger, it'll be a like us playing Michigan skill. It's going to be a fast game.
Well, good luck to Charlie and the Nittany Lions. I only hate Penn State football, so I'm cool with them. Yep. And have a safe trip, importantly.
Thank you.
Nolan, you ready to go to that funhouse of yours?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here from Barron, who says Mike Elias has shown he can rebuild a team, but can't manage it from there. Pissed away the last 3 years, acting like the team is still rebuilding. His trades make little to no sense, and the changing of the lineup every day is annoying on top of that from the manager. Maybe time for both of them to go.
I don't think either is getting fired anytime soon. It will be a big next couple of months for Elias, trying to supplement this talent, because you can't sit here with your fingers crossed going, we're going to get Gunner back or Grayson back, we're going to get Eflin back. Wait till No, you can't count on any of that and dangle some of these magic beans. A lot of these guys are buried down on the farm. You don't think the Norbys and Stowers were happy to get out of Dodge, Joey Ortiz? They knew they were getting a chance to play. So if you can flip one, Nolan, you and I pick Logan Gilbert to win the Cy Young. I don't know if Seattle would part with him, but Luis Castillo could possibly be an option. And if it's going to cost you a Kerstad or a Mountie or a Kerstad and a Mayo, come on, man. We're in it to win it, right? You haven't won a playoff game in 11 years. Let's get her done.
Well, the Corbin Burns stuff came up again last night. The local media got to talk to him before game two. Texter here says the fact that we're still having this Corbin Burns conversation is exhausting. $1 billion, a coupon to the Orioles team store, anything in between, it never mattered. If people are upset about the lack of pitching moves, I'm with you 100%, but it's time to give the Burns stuff a rest. It's pointless.
Oh, I have no problem with what happened here. They try. That's what all you could ask for. Well, they're too cheap, and they don't want to pay anybody. They wanted to give this guy over $40 million a year for 4 years, and I'm on board with the not 10-year contracts for pitchers. He wanted to go home, took less money, still a really, really rich guy.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm on board. Hey, it's over. I have no ill will towards him. He was really good for that one season, helped the Orioles get to the playoffs. Now we got to find either a homegrown Corbin Burns or trade for another one.
Here's the only thing I don't get with the Corbin Burns thing is he seems so fixated on years or length of contract, and yet it includes an opt-out, and he's most likely going to opt out if he pitches to the same level he's at. What does it matter at that point? I mean, 4 years, 6 years, you're going to be done after two anyway. I don't know.
I guess he had that Boris leverage, and he used it. And I think the most important thing is he wanted to pitch. He lives in Scottsdale, and that's where he wanted to be.
Just had a baby.
Hey, Corbin Burns, thanks for the memories.
Our last text of the day comes from Eric in Bel Air, who says, this team lost some edge and fire last year. Going back to that Yankees series around midseason, Clay Holmes nearly killing Heston Kerstad with the hit-by-pitch. They got punked in that game. No real response. The whole team has played with less edge ever since. Clear as day, Hyde dropped the ball and lost the clubhouse by not retaliating.
Well, you remember they had beat the Yankees 17-5. They were the best team in baseball, I believe, record-wise at that time. Number one in all the offensive categories, pretty much. Then they went to Houston and got their asses kicked by the Astros. And then Adley took that foul ball at the end of June, right before the All-Star break. Then Westberg broke his wrist. I mean, they had a bunch of other things in between. Grayson got hurt. I think injuries were real. What they never did, replace Felix Bautista. I mean, Kimbrel was good for about 2 months. Then he was a disaster the other times. Dominguez was inconsistent. But we talked about it earlier. That happy, vibing team, haven't seen it. Maybe Kyle Gibson will bring it back when he comes up in May sometime.
Well, I guess the Yankees didn't get the memo about retaliation. They seemed to be miffed the whole time that there was retaliation. Eric says there wasn't.
Don't give me a reason to start cussing on the air, Nolan McGraw. Take their tour.
Forgot about that saga. It was insane.
Yeah, well, it was like 9-3 plunk batters in favor of the Yankees. Get the bleep out of here. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow with Ryan Ripken. Vinny, again, good luck to Penn State.
Yeah, let's hope they win a natty.
Safe trip. We'll see you next week. Nolan, it's always great talking to you. Inside Access coming up next. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.